Booth back on the airwaves.
Happy Thursday to you.
We come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Bentley. Intern Cam's got the Periscope fired up. If you want to watch along with us, how are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody Mack.
Doing well. Can't complain. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
Nobody wants to hear you complain anyways. That's what I would have said if you did want to.
Well, I wasn't going to complain, but now I am. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Just okay?
We're rolling.
Why okay?
There's nothing to put me over the edge for good today. I mean,
what could do it? What would make you go from okay to excellent?
I could rub on my leg a little bit.
Let's stick with okay.
Okay. You got a story of the day? I'm looking around on this Thursday. We got a little bit of college football news. Alabama continues their exodus of coaches.
Yeah.
As their defensive coordinator, Tosh Lapoy, however the hell you say his name, says he's going to Cleveland to coach the defensive line in the NFL with Freddie Kitchens. I know some people thought it was really weird timing because in the NFL, you don't have to make this announcement so early, right? National Signing Day is 3 weeks away. They could have easily let him continue recruiting because Tosh is one of Alabama's ace recruiters, right? Especially now he's one of their only recruiters. They don't have guys on the trail. So they could have easily waited 3 weeks and said, hey, yeah, we'll hire you after signing day. Don't worry. It'll be after the Super Bowl. No big deal. But instead, they make this announcement 3 weeks early. And like I said, now Alabama has another coach vacancy to fill. Another guy off the field who, I mean, is in on some big guys, right? There's a couple of big defensive players that Tennessee has ties to with Tooto Onolo and
Tooto Oto.
And then Chris Boggle. You remember Chris Boggle, right? From the All-American game where
yes.
He had reportedly told NBC 5 minutes before he announced Alabama that he was going to Tennessee.
Yeah, his commitment is about as stable as a mental patient.
And apparently he hasn't signed anything. So, I mean, Tennessee could be back in the mix for one. I don't think they get both of those guys, but be in the mix for one of them.
Yeah, Bruce Feldman said Tosh Lapoy was the lead recruiter for guys like Tua, Jonah Williams, the tackle, Raekwon Davis, Najee Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really talented players.
I mean, he was pretty much only their defensive coordinator because of recruiting. And, look, if you watched Alabama in the national championship game, you saw that their defense wasn't the typical defense, right?
Right.
For one reason or the other, that defense was not the Alabama defense you were used to. As all the offensive coaches were leaving, you kind of thought to yourself, well, maybe the defense needs a facelift as well. Maybe the defense needs a facelift as well. Seems as if the one coach who maybe should be getting ran off is safe. But instead, now he's gone to Cleveland. We'll see who Nick Saban goes after to replace him. I'm sure he'll find somebody good. Or as you pointed out last night, he might just coach everything himself. What if Nick Saban is just like, feel weird referencing him now, but Kevin Spacey in Horrible Bosses. You ever seen Horrible Bosses?
Yes. Yes,
I have. He's like the president of the company, and they have a opening for vice president. And you know what happened since you've seen the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
You care to explain to us what happens?
He gets the role as vice president.
He does. I don't know if you've actually seen it now.
Yeah.
But I did, I guess, give away context clues, helped get you to that answer. So I guess you've checkmated me on this one.
It also had that guy from, who's that guy? Jason.
Okay.
There's so many Jasons. What is it? Bateman. Jason Bateman. The guy from Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
And We're the Millers.
And Jason Sudeikis. right? There's two Jason. Is it his name Jason as well? Sudeikis?
Is he in there too?
Yeah. I knew you hadn't seen it.
Well, I've seen it. I can't retain things.
Either way, Kevin Spacey, there was a promotion to be had, vice president. Jason Bateman thought he was going to get the job, and instead Kevin Spacey comes out and says, I'm going to be the vice president. And he just takes the sledgehammer and starts knocking down the wall, just making his office even bigger. That might be what Nick Saban's just going to do on this staff. Like, yeah, defensive coordinator, nah. Alabama, let's just take that $1.5, $1.7 million we were going to pay a defensive coordinator. Just give it to me. Offensive coordinator, just give it to me. I now make $15 million, and I will run this thing by myself.
The guy has no friends. Everybody is leaving him. I guess it's like a chain reaction has been started, or a domino effect, as some might say.
Well, you did see the one name who didn't leave him, right? There was one coach who was persuaded not to leave.
I did see.
One coach has had a change of heart and either had his offer from Maryland pulled or said, you know what, I'm going to stick around, and hey, I might be a wide receivers coach one day here.
I'll stay with you, Nick. We'll build it brick by brick.
He finds himself in a tenured position, right? Like he might be Saban's right hand man now.
I picture Nick Saban sitting in his office, like with his head in his hands, and he's just like, my God, all of these coaches, they just keep leaving. What am I going to do? How am I going to replace them? And Butch is just kind of awkwardly sitting there in a chair, like 30 feet away from him. He's just got his hands crossed, and he's, hey Nick, you know, I used to be a head coach in the SEC. And Saban just looks at him every now and then, just with pure hatred.
Not now, Lyle.
Not now, Lyle.
Not now. I'm not calling another grown man Butch. Not now, Lyle. It's not the time.
Or he's like, he comes in and he's like, Saban, like in Ted, you know, he's like, I've got fresh cakes for you. Fresh cakes in the urinal.
Let's add Ted to the six movies that Cody will reference from now until the end of time. This is the third or fourth time you've mentioned Ted in the last 2 weeks.
That's not true.
I feel like it's true.
Well, I was trying to think of a powerful figure.
Yeah.
And then a guy coming in who's not a powerful figure.
Okay.
Which is Butch.
Yeah, I saw a stat that every coach from the 2016 team is gone. And I believe only the tight ends coach from 2017 is still there. At least on the offensive side of the ball. It might have been the offensive side of the ball, because this was before even Tosh said he was leaving. But, yeah, the timing is strange. Like I said, they could have easily had him hold on and finish recruiting and help Alabama, but nope, didn't. Gone. Speaking of gone, right after we went off the air, Jalen Hurts announced he was gone. He announced where he was going. Not Miami. Not Maryland. Not Tennessee. Oklahoma.
Knew it all along.
Which, of course, is going to bring the accusations of hypocrisy right to Lincoln Riley's door. Right? Like, Lincoln Riley wins by getting Jalen Hurts, but he loses in the sense that he got Jalen Hurts right after the report came out that he was blocking his quarterback, Austin Kendall, who is apparently on pace to graduate early, that he's blocking him from going to other places in the Big 12 or opponents on their schedule and playing immediately. The Big 12 needs to step in and fix the rule and kind of adopt what the SEC does and say, hey, if you're a grad transfer, you can go wherever you want. You shouldn't be punished just because you know, you should be rewarded for graduating. We'll see if they step up and do the right thing. Some college football news yesterday leads the way. Lincoln Riley, any thoughts on him? Like, you just... does it look bad blocking that, or is that just a business? Think about it. We'll talk about it a little bit next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
It was a dark.
Back on the program. Some other college football news. Did you see Tennessee had to report some violations.
Yes,
they
did.
They had to do some self-reporting of some NCAA violations, including getting in trouble for Philip Fulmer, the athletic director, coaching.
That answers that question. Apparently, you can't do that.
Yeah, we just talked about that a couple of days ago, right?
Yes.
On whether or not he could just kind of be an extra coach. The answer to that is no, you cannot.
That was an NCAA violation, and apparently he was banned from practice for 5 days.
Tennessee reported 14 violations. Anything to that moving forward? I mean, there's nothing, right, with the Fulmer instructing offensive linemen. Like, it got caught on tape. It became a story. I guess maybe you could say that Tennessee probably wouldn't even have self-reported it if not. I don't know. I guess they reported 13 other ones. So maybe they would have. But just a funny headline, like Fulmer. Back in the news.
As long as, you know, they don't start looking into tracing these cash transactions,
yeah,
I think everything's going to be all right.
Okay.
Self-report the minor stuff and, you know, just go about your way. Keep landing these big-time players.
Lincoln Riley was in hot water yesterday. Lincoln Riley was in hot water yesterday for being called a hypocrite. Being a hypocrite for blocking Austin Kendall. And then everyone kind of acknowledged, hey, this is a bad look if you're blocking this quarterback and then you're taking Jalen Hurts to replace him. Everyone gave him the Bo Ryan treatment. You remember Bo Ryan was really the coach that got brought to the, I guess, put in the crosshairs with this 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, as he was pretty much had a list of like 60 or 70 teams he wouldn't let his guys transfer to, trying to punish them for transferring. Lincoln Riley was doing that to his backup quarterback who was set up to graduate. The Big 12 doesn't have that rule, and everyone rightfully called them out, and Lincoln Riley buckled. Lincoln Riley buckled to the pressure. Lincoln Riley gets no credit for buckling to the pressure. Lincoln Riley tried to do that, tried to block. The timing of it was weird because he blocks Kendall, and then Hurts comes. And we'll see how he would have felt and how he would have handled this had Jalen Hurts not ultimately chosen Oklahoma. Would he still have been as willing to buckle to the pressure?
Yeah, like if Jalen Hurts was blocked by Saban from coming to Oklahoma, would his reaction have been?
Or if he just chose Miami or Maryland. Yeah. Not even being blocked because, like I said, the SEC made a rule that the Big 12 doesn't have.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
People were really hard on Riley, who wanted to stop Kendall from going to West Virginia. It was weird to see Riley being this coach, though. Like, he would have been low on my list of guys wanting to do this. He would have been low. I would have thought him being a former player, him being younger, you know, you kind of think of him as the cool young coach. You would have thought he'd have been more open to trying to do what's best for the players. Instead, he was the curmudgeon saying, no, you're not going to West Virginia. Now, again, public pressure caved in on him, and he gave in. I think he did so begrudgingly. I think he realized he was fighting a losing PR battle because you ain't going to win in 2019 when you are trying to stop someone from doing what's right, especially when you are, again, being blatantly hypocritical, bringing in someone to take his job. As you're not committed to the quarterback, you're committed to bringing in someone new. You are the real-life guy looking back at a girl as he walks down hand-in-hand with another one meme come to life.
He probably made the right decision in caving into the pressure once it erupted to a certain point, because I don't think he could have won the battle.
Yeah.
So it's best to just let everybody talk about it today, and then it goes away.
So Lincoln Riley's not going to be marred by this. Lincoln Riley's fine. We won't remember this come next year when Jalen Hurts looks like a Heisman Trophy finalist.
I think we'll remember it, but it'll fade away. You know, it'll cycle out of the news cycle, and him caving in helps. At least he's not standing up today, doubling down on it. Like, yeah, I don't want him to go there.
Some people, when they saw that it was West Virginia, were like, you know what? He probably shouldn't be allowed to go to West Virginia and be the starting quarterback.
I mean, I can absolutely see why Lincoln Riley would not want him to go there.
Yeah.
That was their biggest competition last year. Now they're going to be with a new coach, and things are going to be different with no Will Grier. But
and sure, Texas will be the biggest competition moving forward. That should be back to normal inside the Big 12. And West Virginia, well, I don't know. I don't know if this Kendall guy's any good. I know he was a sought-after recruit, obviously, if he went to Oklahoma to play quarterback. But maybe if he's good, there's not much of a drop-off from West Virginia.
I can understand not wanting to help out teams in your conference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
More so than if you know, like a Bo Ryan blocking them from going anywhere. Or like Saban used to try to block his players.
It is going to be awkward if he's, you know, the guy goes from your locker room to starting in your conference against a team that is good, a team that is worthy of being on the same field as you. But there is this movement, and maybe it's something to keep an eye on. We'll see if people get behind Justin Fields. I don't know if they will. Rallying behind him, right? Like trying to put pressure on. This would be the NCAA putting pressure on. But following that case, and these quarterbacks have been getting pretty good treatment, right? Players transferring, that is something that the NCAA seems to be willing to bend on a little bit now, right?
Yeah.
These guys are getting their waivers. These guys are getting to play immediately. Think back last year with Brandon Kennedy as he was trying to transfer to Tennessee. The SEC pretty much put in a rule to help him. Not just him, obviously, but others. Saying, hey, we're gonna let these grad transfers go and play immediately anywhere.
I saw people pointing out yesterday that we could end up with a Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma versus Saban in the college football playoff, or maybe Justin Fields playing Georgia.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah, no, it's possible. I don't know what Washington's got coming on, but maybe we could have a Jacob Eason versus Jake Fromm. I don't know if Washington's going to be any good, but there are some. Yeah. Like the free agency of the quarterback position is pretty wild, right?
Well, it adds another storyline for when you do get one of those matchups in the playoff. It's bound to happen.
Like, it was fun watching Kyler Murray play Alabama and have the two Heisman, you know, top two people going at it, but it'd be a lot more fun to watch Jalen Hurts
versus Tua.
Versus Tua. Jalen Hurts versus Alabama.
I would definitely be pulling for Jalen Hurts.
Who is Greg Schiano's agent? Do we know? Is he represented by
Dan Wolkin, I believe.
I think that one was unofficially. Is he represented by Sexton?
I don't know.
Just wondering, like, who?
It would be a good guess.
It feels like everyone is, right?
Yeah.
I thought that maybe we had connected those dots last year, but I'm not positive. See if you can figure that out, either Cameron or Ben Lee. But, you know, Alabama isn't needing a defensive coordinator, so I was just wondering.
Butch Jones doesn't even get listed on their coaching staff, like, honorable mentions. On the Alabama's website, they got some guy named Ellis Ponder, who is the assistant athletics director of football operations on there. They don't even mention Butch.
Well, even yesterday, whenever the announcement came that he was staying at Alabama, it said he may get a spot as maybe, a position maybe. Coach. Or not, he might be a senior analyst. Like, if you're Butch, again, we've already talked about it, you're getting your paycheck from Tennessee. You're not necessarily worried about money, and you just want to try to get that national championship or try to have the Alabama shine on you. Because obviously, as we just talked about with their coaches, they're going everywhere. They're getting jobs. So eventually, if you stay there long enough, you'll get one too. But yeah, it wasn't even guaranteed that he will get a position coach job there.
Surely to God. With all these coaches leaving, like, he could get some kind of a job. I mean, coaching tight ends or something, right?
You would think.
The guy was a head coach in the SEC.
Not only that, but he's paid his due for 1 year as an intern.
I mean, surely he can coach a group of tight ends or a group of defensive backs or something.
If he doesn't, then that makes me think that Loxley just looked at him, and either Loxley or Josh Gattis was just like, no, I don't want this guy doing anything with my offense. Football Scoop reports that Tennessee's safeties special teams coordinator Charles Kelly is staying at Tennessee. He had been linked to the Maryland defensive coordinator job.
Now, didn't we hear that T. Martin was on the road recruiting in his place?
Is that what we heard?
That's what I heard yesterday.
Okay. Seems as if he is staying at Tennessee. So Tennessee keeps a coach, and Charles Kelly has a good relationship with Jeremy Pruitt. I know that we have to find one coach to leave, at least. Looked like Charles Kelly was going to go, but I don't think that was the one that fans wanted to go. So I think this is a win for Tennessee.
Who could we potentially get to leave that would do the least amount of damage?
Well, I think everyone keeps pointing to Winky. Winky or David Johnson, which I don't know how big of a damage David Johnson would do now that T would be here to coach receivers. But, yeah, those two have been the names circled. But Charles Kelly ain't one of them. He's staying on as Tennessee's – he stayed on Tennessee's staff. I assume he will stay in the same position, but he was a special teams coordinator last year. So there's some college football news starting your Thursday. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Do you have any interest in Mel Kiper Jr.'s first mock draft?
Yes.
I ponied up for the ESPN Plus. I told you that I had recently purchased it, what was it, 2 weeks ago maybe, whenever Grant and Admiral showed up in the first round of their NBA mock. So I was like, you know what? I'll just pay the $5. I'll consider it a business expense. But now I've got to put it to use. So I found myself looking at Mel Kiper's first round of mock drafts.
Is that included with your ESPN, your TV thing?
No, it's an extra $5 a month.
Just for their articles?
That and like they have some premium content, like the Peyton Manning detail show. You know what I'm talking where he watches quarterbacks and breaks down their game, and same as Kobe does in basketball. They have some premium content on it. But included is the mock draft.
I see.
Is there anything in particular you care about it with? Because I went to it looking up Kyler Murray. Like, that's the name who I've got my eye on. I want to see where he's projected, along with who they think the Titans are going to draft, obviously. But there aren't very many prospects right now in this class that I'm interested in. Like, last year you had the debate with all the quarterbacks, right? Darnold, Rosen, Lamar, and then out of nowhere came Baker, and then all of a sudden he was the number one pick, and he's probably going to win Rookie of the Year. Either him or Saquon, but I'd say Baker's going to get it for, you know, being at the quarterback position. But, you know, in this class, there aren't very many storylines. There are no real quarterback debates. To me, the only interest is Kyler Murray. Is there something that you are interested in this draft?
The quarterbacks are definitely not as interesting as last year's were. There isn't a star running back like Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be interested to hear the top five, top ten players.
I'm trying to think. You have to, okay, so the first four are all defense. Bosa's at number one, which, by the way, Bosa sitting out an entire year of football and then rolling out and being the number one pick, does that change things in college football?
As far as him becoming a trendsetter for players to do that?
Yeah, is that going to change anything? Because I feel like at this time last year, we were thinking that, or I guess that at looking ahead to this year's draft in 2018, a year ago, I feel like we all kind of thought it was going to be Ed Oliver, Houston defensive tackle, right?
Yeah.
He was the big-time prospect, and then he came out, and he had a bad year. He got banged up, and now you have to scroll down to, I think, 14th to see where Ed Oliver's getting drafted. With the Trevor Lawrence stuff and, you know, the people already saying, hey, he should probably sit out for 2 years, which I think sounds a little extreme, but I don't know. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to get worse at football in 2 years. I mean, I think he could go and stay trained up with some of the best trainers in the world and go ahead and sign an agent and have some money coming in, and he'd be just as good of a prospect, I think, when it comes to the 2021 draft. Maybe instead of number one, he goes 7 or 8. But he would still be a top 10 pick.
I think most of the guys that are that good on that level that have been good enough to prove themselves as top draft picks are probably too competitive, mostly, to sit out.
I don't know. Did you see Scottie Pippen like 2 days ago? Scottie Pippen, I believe, was on ESPN TV talking about Zion Williamson should just sit out the rest of the year. Like, hey, you know what? He should leave Duke and just get ready for the NBA draft. Like, he was advocating for that at the beginning of ACC play. I don't know if this was in response to an ACC loss and his point guard being out for the year, most likely, or if it was brought on by something else. But he was like, Zion, you just need to get ready for the NBA. Here in the football, we've had Nick Bosa, who was injured, had an injury he was dealing with at the beginning of the year, but was just like, you know what? No, I'm good. I'm not playing football this year. I'm just going to get ready for the draft. So he didn't play one snap in 2018.
Right. I think a lot of those guys are really competitive, though. Most of the guys that get to that point, it's through, you know, there's some hard work that comes with that. Now, some of them are just really talented, too, and that helps. But a lot of those guys have worked to get there, and they have these relationships with their teammates and their coaches, and they don't. It's not necessarily that they wouldn't put themselves and their future first, but I think most of them are cool with taking the risk of still playing college football.
Well, it's funny you say that they're competitive, because to me, that could be also taken to mean that they want to be the highest picks possible in the draft. Like, what's more competitive than saying, I want to be a top five pick?
Well, playing for your teammates and your coaches and your school and doing the whole college football thing. I mean,
like going out and trying to win games?
I mean, that's what 99.9% of guys are doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I just wonder, like, let's take kids in junior high and young in high school right now. Do you think that the vast majority of them are saying, I want to be on a winning team? Or do you think they're saying, I want to be the greatest ever? I want to be an all-star. I want to be a pro bowler. I want to be an all-American. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Do you think that kids are growing up wanting to win championships and be on good teams? Or do you think they're wanting to be personally great?
Well, you mentioned junior high.
Uh-huh.
And that's definitely different than high school. Because I think by the time kids get to their junior, senior years, they've pretty much figured out, like, they're doing it for the team at that point. They're wanting to win championships with their friends.
Do you think that's the case with these studs, though? Like,
well, with
different. Do you think T. Higgins was at Oak Ridge saying, man, I really hope I could take Oak Ridge to a state championship? Or do you think he was thinking, man, can't wait to get to Clemson and win a national – or wait to Clemson and then go in the first round of the draft and get paid?
T. was – seemed to really be a team guy.
Okay, he might have been, and you covered him at Oak Ridge a bit. That's why I went with that example.
He never set out plays really, or did. Now he got dinged up a couple times, and he did sit. He missed some games.
Uh-huh.
But I think, and you know, that's a touchy subject. Like, was he really injured, or is he just preserving himself?
We don't have to make it about T.
Yeah, I mean,
precisely. We don't have to single him out. I just did that because he was the first name that came to mind. You have a tie to him. You covered his high school career, and he's just someone who was the best player on the field, right? Every time he was on the field,
he
was a stud.
But he was there for the playoffs, and he was there at the end of the year. So, like, most of those guys like that, those elite level prospects. I mean, it's a case by case thing.
Uh-huh. So you think junior high, when you're a little bit younger, you're probably more selfish, but then by the time you actually get on a team and you're competing for things, that's when you really get morphed into trying to win championships.
Yeah, because every kid, when they're in junior high, thinks that they can be a star. You know what I mean?
Maybe even younger than junior high, too. I just wonder, like, growing up, we were talking about competitiveness. Like, I do think 100% that the Nick Bosas of the world are competitive. I would just say he was probably, A, competing against his older brother, Joey, right?
Right.
Trying to chase Joey down, but also saying, I want to go to the NFL. I want to be the number one pick. I want to make millions of dollars and be at the highest level.
I think the relationships these guys develop with their teammates and their coaches, though, could be underrated in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of those guys really care about their teammates, their friends. You know, it's like a brotherhood and all that. So they're playing for them, too. But I don't, you know, I would never fault the guys who decide to sit out, too.
Every time I see Nick Bosa at the top of a mock draft, I just think about it.
Yeah. I don't blame Nick Bosa for doing what he did. I mean, I don't think that'll be a trend. I don't think 99% of players will do that.
I've been thinking about this a lot recently because, again, like I said, Scottie Pippen, he used to be one of the 50 greatest players. I would say he's probably still in the top 50, although there's been a lot of great players over the last decade. I didn't know if maybe he'd gotten knocked out. But Scottie Pippen, one of your 50 to 60 greatest players of all time, is on TV talking about Zion Williamson, saying, hey, Duke's not doing you any good, big fella. Duke's not doing you any good. Get ready to hone your craft. Like, think of it here in Knoxville. Now, this is a different degree, obviously. But DJ Burns, right? Top 100 prospect, Rick Barnes, one of his biggest guys he signed. Maybe the highest-rated guy he signed, actually. He is, right? He's right outside the top 100. So he is Barnes' best recruit at Tennessee so far.
He's definitely
until Josiah James gets here.
One of the biggest physically.
He said, you know what? I could do high school basketball one more year, or I could try to go to Tennessee, redshirt a year. I assume, 99% sure, he knew that he was redshirting here this year, and he wasn't going to see the court. He was going to what Rick Barnes calls it his fat camp, right? Like Admiral went through it, Grant went through it, where you're fat, you come in, he gets you in shape, and then all of a sudden you're a better basketball player. I think DJ Burns decided to do that and skipped senior year of high school, which he most likely would have dominated, right?
Yeah.
He most likely would have dominated his high school basketball competition. Instead, he said, you know what? No, I've got bigger aspirations. I'm going to sit out. I'm going to go get right. Like, Coach K is awesome, obviously, GOAT of college basketball. But he doesn't necessarily get these guys as ready as possible for the next level. You heard Wendell Carter's parents talking about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, and maybe at some point we see a transition in college basketball to where if a team like Tennessee wins the national title this year and the coverage is as positive and great as it has been throughout the year so far, I think a lot of players will look at a program like Tennessee and say, you know, I could really go there and be developed and be a better basketball player when I come out.
Well, Burns did the smart thing. Burns, I want to see how many people do it like Burns does it. Now, obviously, basketball is different than football because basketball is putting in alternatives to this. Like, there is the developmental league and their fast track. I forgot what they called it, but the program they're offering elite prospects to go and play in the G League for a year before getting drafted and make, what was it, $150,000?
Right.
They are often an alternative. Football so far hasn't done that. And obviously the physicality of the sport is different. But I love what DJ Burns did. He was like, you know what? High school senior year would be fun. I'm okay with that. I need to go and actually get in a better weight program and be around better coaches and try to get ready to ball out next year in basketball. And then hopefully maybe, I don't know what type of prospect he would be in the NBA or whatever, but further his basketball career one way or the other. By either being great at college whenever he first gets there, officially playing, or getting so developed and so in shape and ready to go where he can make a leap. Now, again, I don't think he's a one-and-done guy, but he's got a better chance of being one-and-done after a year of fat camp and sitting out and getting ready, trying to hone his craft and be a part of the system and practice with Tennessee and all of these things. And even if he's not practicing, running like scrimmages with the team, being around the team.
I think it's good to build up if you can, you know. Like, there are some guys, like, that are rarities that can go from high school to the NBA. Like, LeBron James would have been totally ready to go.
Oh, yeah, no, he was ready to go. He was ready to go.
But I do think that college experience is probably good for most players. Now, we'll see what happens with the G League alternative, but I like the DJ Burns route.
It all depends. It all depends. I think Nick Bosa obviously made the right decision. If these mock drafts are to be trusted, and him and he's the best overall prospect, I think he made the right decision. We'll see how he does at the combine, you know, after a layoff from football, but that's just working out, right? He's already been working out. Yeah. Combine's just like that.
So you got your list pulled up?
I got my list pulled up.
What else we got on there?
I couldn't get past number one because Bosa is the most fascinating case of sitting out and maybe affecting things further down the line. Like I said, I'm interested in Kyler Murray. I'll tell you where he's at in this first mock draft by Kuiper, as well as a couple of the other big names next. Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Josh Allen, number two. Josh Allen, number two in the mock draft with, you know, the Kentucky guy, the outside linebacker going to San Francisco. Top four picks, all defensive players.
Josh Allen, number two.
Yeah.
Congrats to Kentucky, I guess, for having a draft pick.
And there couldn't be more of a contrast, right? There couldn't be more of a contrast between on-field production than guy who sits out, Bosa, against Josh Allen, who had 17 sacks this year.
It's a big year.
He was awesome.
17 sacks.
He didn't do much against Tennessee. He was the second best defensive lineman on the field versus Tennessee. Shout out to Darrell Taylor, who bought out that game.
How many did Barnett have in 1 year?
I feel like he was pretty consistent around like the 10-11 mark, right? I feel like he had like 10 sacks almost every year, like all three of his years. I might be wrong on that, but I feel like he was pretty consistent, had the same output every year type of thing. Yeah, no, Allen having 17 in 1 year is ridiculous. There couldn't be a bigger contrast between some guy who balled out on the field versus someone who did nothing on the field except work out. But, yeah, the top four players are defensive players. You have to get down to number five with an offensive lineman, Jonah Williams from Alabama, going to Tampa Bay before you get an offensive player. And then you got your first quarterback off the board. Seems like Dwayne Haskins and the Giants are on a little bit of a collision course. Seems like the Giants might be slated to go after the Ohio State quarterback. We'll see if someone tries to trade up. The Jaguars are right behind the Giants. Maybe they would try to trade up and draft a quarterback.
They need one.
They do. They do.
The Jaguars. So the first quarterback is pretty far down the list.
At number six. And then you do have Kyler Murray slated as the number 13th pick to Miami.
You know, if you just tell us all these mock drafts and things like this on your ESPN, what is it, ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Then none of us will have to get it.
I'm taking one for the team.
It's a benefit for the audience.
When I got that email that $5.45 got taken out of my account, I did it with a smile. I said, that's the cross I have chosen to bear.
This is for the fans.
This is for Talk Sports and the Talk Sporters. We need a better name for the people who listen.
Sporties.
The Sporties?
The Talkies.
That'd be like our award show.
The Talkie Sporties.
Just keep working on it. Keep working on it.
We need a Miss Talk Sports.
What?
A woman to represent us.
For the sake of you, I'm going to keep you out of trouble. We don't need a woman involved with the show. No offense to women. I'm protecting you from Cody.
Protecting them?
Yeah. Yeah. From the thousand-yard stare that you would just look when they're around.
Who do you think I am?
The oogling
eyes. You act like I'm Jeffrey Dahmer.
I didn't say anything about you being Jeffrey Dahmer.
You paint me out to be a serial killer or something.
I didn't say that. You're projecting now.
No. I'm saying you're wrong. Women love me.
It's that mentality.
I respect them.
It's that mentality that you bring to the table.
I'm beloved by women.
Josh says the ESPN Plus is worth the $5 alone just because all the UFC stuff's on there.
I have an ad for a free trial of ESPN Plus.
Just now?
I just had one.
You think they're listening to us?
Probably.
Is your microphone on?
This one is.
Touché.
I do have one right in front of my face.
Start talking about something random.
Target. I like to shop at Target.
We want to go on a flight. We want to fly. Wonder what airfare would be like from Knoxville to Minneapolis.
Maybe we could get a flight with Allegiant Airlines.
Maybe even going to Las Vegas. Do you think, if you're listening, can you get us some ads about flights? I'd really love one. Let's see if it works. But Kyler Murray at 13 to Miami. So, like, yeah, he's going to be right there, I guess, talked about as a first-round pick. Miami, that'd be a pretty fun city to be a quarterback in, right? Looks like Tannehill's done in that town. The Dolphins are in need of a rebuild, a really big rebuild. Just blow it up. New coach, new roster, all of it. Just get rid of it. That'd be a pretty good spot, and that 13 spot would pay him even the $15 million, even the $15 million that he was asking for from the A's. This draft, just looking over this, pretty void of skill players. I'm all the way down to number 19 to the Tennessee Titans, and that is the first time that an offensive player is projected to go that wasn't an offensive lineman or one of the two quarterbacks. And even then, it's a tight end from Iowa.
Oh, God.
And boy, let me tell you, if the Titans take a tight end from Iowa at number 19, and it ain't George Kittle re-entering the draft, I'm going to be upset. But this draft right here, as you're looking at it, there's just no skill players. A.J. Brown from Ole Miss is the first non-tight end, non-offensive lineman.
So A.J. Brown is the first skill player on Mel Kiper's draft.
Unless you consider the tight end. Unless you consider the tight end.
Well, I mean, I don't.
Yeah. But Murray, number 13. Those are the storylines. This draft might be pretty boring. This draft might be pretty boring this year. A lot of defensive guys. A lot of defensive guys.
That is a boring draft.
Why is that? Was there no
too many defensive guys?
Was there no real star power in college football this year? I mean, like,
guess not.
Seems like stars were Kyler Murray or all underclassmen, right?
They were all young, yeah.
You know, we talked about next year's like potential playoff and Heisman Trophy battle, and there are some big names there, right? The quarterbacks next year, there's some storylines. Hurts, Tua, Eason,
Trevor
Lawrence, Justin Fields, even though he hasn't done anything on the field to be a star, but there are a lot of those names next year of guys getting older.
I mean, the fact that Fields is going to be the starting quarterback for Ohio State immediately makes that more interesting.
Yeah, like I guess he hasn't officially been granted his waiver, but it's possible.
Fields, Trevor, Tua, Hurts. I mean, those are good. That's good star power for next year.
Yeah.
Well, Haskins is coming back to Ohio State, I'm pretty sure.
Who?
Haskins.
No, he's gone.
D-Wayne.
Cut your mic off.
Sorry, Ben.
It's awkward. I mean, I just read you the mock draft. He's announced for the draft. It's fine. You can just cut your mic off. It's okay. Happens to the best of us. I spoiled a whole show for Cody. We all have our moments.
Here we go again.
But the star power there is Haskins, who you don't necessarily care about. Ben's pushing the mic all the way around. this is the hurt.
You were mean to him.
I wasn't mean. I just told him that Haskins was coming. Had announced he was gone.
Don't have to be so mean.
I wasn't being mean.
You should listen to Taylor Swift.
Cameron, thumbs up, thumbs down. Was I being mean?
Come on, Cam. Be honest. It's okay to be honest, Cam.
Am I being mean by putting Cam on the spot?
No.
Hour one's over. Here we go with the tension in the room again.
Not with me. I'm cool.
Hour two kicks off next.